Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
an explosion in Beirut kills dozens and injures thousands.
Congress inches closer to agreement on a stimulus package.
Tensions with China pile up as TikTok, Taiwan, and trade put pressure on Beijing.
And Bill Gates weighs in on TikTok and the pandemic. It's a Bloomberg exclusive.
The trail of destruction in the tri-state area from Tropical Storm Isaias, plus a shakeup with New York City's health commissioner. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. The Mets fall in D.C. while the Yankees take the night off, plus a stunning upset by the Nets and the Rangers exit the bubble. It's all coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are gaining this morning as lawmakers inch closer to agreement on the next stimulus package. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points this morning, Dow futures up 197, NASDAQ futures up 52, the DAX in Germany is up 1.1%, CAC in Paris up 1%, and the FTSE 100 up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 0.52%, yield on the 2-year 0.11%. COMEX gold is up 1.7% or $34.40 at $2,055.40 an ounce. The euro at 1.1855 against the dollar, the yen 105.75. And this headline crossing the Bloomberg, Blackstone said to reach a $4.7 billion deal to buy Ancestry.com. John.
And Karen, we begin at Lebanon, where a national day of mourning has been declared after a massive explosion in Beirut. That blast came around 6 p.m. local time, killing dozens, injuring thousands. Authorities say it was caused by explosive materials at the port, but didn't say whether it was an accident or an attack. We get more from Bloomberg International editor Jody Schneider.
The prime minister described the blast as a major national disaster. It's really unclear at this point what the cause was, but it has just been devastating to that area. They were not going to really know the death toll probably for, you know, at least a day or two. There's 3,600 injured and some severe injuries and many, many people missing.
Well, buildings in the area, even miles away, were severely damaged. Oil prices did climb in the minutes after the attack. Right now, we have Brent crude. It is up 2%. NYMEX crude up 2.1%.
Let's shift gears now and head to Washington, where lawmakers are inching closer to agreement on a stimulus package. Still, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says key disagreements remain.
They made some concessions, which we appreciated. We made some concessions, which they appreciated. We're still far away on a lot of the important issues, but we're continuing to go at it.
Senator Rick Scott is less optimistic. In an interview with Bloomberg, the Republican from Florida blames Democrats for focusing on the wrong issues.
They're being disingenuous. They say, oh, we care, but they don't really. And what I'm concerned about is the unbelievable dollars that we're spending.
Both House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin hope to reach agreement this week. If that happens, a vote on the package likely won't come until next week, leaving a gap in unemployment payments.
Meantime, the trade deal between the U.S. and China is back in focus. Sources tell us senior officials from both countries will meet around August 15th to assess the agreement struck earlier this year. Here with more is Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, and Chinese Vice Premier Liu He are expected to talk about China's commitments as part of the Phase 1 trade deal and get an update. And, of course, these discussions will be focusing on the trade picture, but broadly across the relationship, there are a number of friction points, everything from the Uyghurs in Xinjiang to Hong Kong to the South China Sea to the virus. So all of these things will be, at the very least, the backdrop for these trade discussions. And we're also hearing from Dow Jones that Liu He is expected to bring up and address the issue of Chinese tech companies. No doubt TikTok will be on his list of concerns when he talks to his U.S. counterparts.
Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports the White House is declining comment on the meeting. So far, Beijing has fallen far behind on its commitments to purchase U.S. agriculture and energy products.
At the same time, the U.S. is planning a high-level trip to Taiwan with House Secretary Alex Azar leading a delegation. It's another move that's likely to spark anger from China. Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank has more from Singapore.
This will be the highest-level visit by a U.S. cabinet official in decades and decades. Azar is supposed to arrive in Taiwan in the coming days. This is set, though, against all of the Washington-Beijing tensions. This is not something that is going to be viewed as good news on the Beijing-Washington front.
The White House is billing the visit as a discussion on Taiwan's response to the coronavirus pandemic. China views Taiwan as part of its territory and opposes its involvement in activities that signal statehood for the island.
As Microsoft looks to buy TikTok, the co-founder of the software giant, the world's second richest man, is weighing in on the acquisition. Bill Gates says data from the Chinese-owned app will be safe with Microsoft if it seals the deal. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
We've made investments in China. We have, you know, engineers from all over the world, including in China. So Microsoft is very careful about its data promises, and you know, we'll try to have strong relationships globally. We won't do things that are hostile, are viewed as hostile.
As part of the proposed deal, Microsoft says it would move data related to the U.S., TikTok users, to make sure it's stored domestically.
On the earnings front this morning, we're seeing shares of Disney surge. The company delivered a surprise profit driven by income from TV networks and its streaming business. Disney also announced its live-action Mulan movie will go straight to Disney Plus as a pay-per-view film priced at $30, and shares are up more than 6% in early trading.
In a programming note, tune in today for an interview with Dr. Anthony Fauci. The nation's top infectious disease expert sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio and Television to weigh in on the pandemic. What to do with schools this fall, the effort to develop a vaccine by year's end. Catch that conversation on Bloomberg's Balance of Power at noon Wall Street time.
And again, that headline that crossed the Bloomberg: Blackstone Group set to buy about 75% of Ancestry.com, the business known for family history research and DNA testing, and a deal valued at $4.7 billion, including debt, sources tell Bloomberg. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Tropical storm Isaias has halted commuter trains, closed bridges, and sent thousands of tree limbs crashing down as it barreled through New York City. More than 2.5 million customers in the tri-state area lost power. The fast-moving storm claimed at least one life in New York. Police say a 60-year-old construction contractor was sitting in a van parked in the Briarwood section of Queens when a huge tree came down on top of it, killing him. Another tree fell and destroyed this woman's house in Queens.
I was in the kitchen, and then the whole house started to shake, and then we went and like everything was broken.
Isaias left a path of destruction from the Carolinas to New England. New York City Health Commissioner Oxidis Barbeau has resigned after months of disagreements with Mayor Bill de Blasio over policies dealing with the COVID-19 outbreak that made the city the global epicenter in April and May. De Blasio says Dave Chachsig will be serving as the commissioner of the city's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene.
He's a proven leader. He's an extraordinary person, Rhodes Scholar, White House Fellow, extraordinary talent. He'll be able to come in immediately. He also used to work at our Department of Health before, so he'll be able to come in seamlessly.
Barbeau and the mayor clashed over the timing of the city's shutdown in the pandemic's early days last March. New York Governor Cuomo says at least 11 more bars have lost their liquor licenses for COVID-related violations. After weeks of railing against what he claimed are the potential risks of voting by mail, President Trump urged voters in at least one Republican state, Florida, to vote by any means.
Florida has been working on this for years, and they have a very good system of mail-in, and that would be absentee or even beyond absentee. So in the case of Florida, there aren't too many people that would qualify. They're so well-run. Florida is a very well-run state.
President Trump, who is trailing Joe Biden in polls, has repeatedly warned in recent weeks without evidence that mail-in voting could result in widespread fraud. Cori Bush, a one-time homeless woman, ousted longtime Representative William Lacey Clay Tuesday in Missouri's Democratic primary. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. The Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. The Mets dropped their sixth game in their last seven, fall to 4-8 on the year, losing to the Nationals 5-3 last night in a rain-interrupted game. Steven Matt struggled in the start, allowing 5 runs on 7 hits in just 3 innings of work, and the bats could not get anything going, missing 3 key players. Robinson Cano placed on the IL with a strained left leg muscle. Both Jeff McNeil and Ahmed Rosario missed the game. They got MRIs and are both listed as day-to-day. If you're looking for a bright spot, 5 combined scoreless innings from the Mets bullpen last night. A couple of former Tigers teammates face off tonight in Rick Porcello and Max Scherzer. The Yankees, meanwhile, had the night off. Their game was called on Monday due to the impending weather, so they'll have a double dip today in Philadelphia. And yes, both those games will be 7-inning games. The Bombers will be the home test, the road team, in the nightcap. First pitch of game 1 at 4:05. Jordan Montgomery opposes Aaron Nola. Down in the NBA bubble, the Nets pulled off the largest upset since 1993, stunning the Bucks 119-116. Brooklyn went off as a 19-point underdog against the top-seeded Bucks, and it was a makeshift roster for the Nets as Garrett Temple was the only starter who had more than 4 starts for the team this season. Brooklyn holds on to the 7th seed in the East, a half game up on Orlando. They'll face the Celtics tonight. On the ice, the Rangers eliminated after getting swept by Carolina in the qualifying series. The Canes topped the Blue Shirts 4-1 last night. Rookie Igor Shesterkin got the start in net after Henrik Lundqvist lost games 1 and 2. He stopped 27 shots, but the Rangers managed just 4 goals in the 3 games combined. Meanwhile, the Islanders took a command in 2 games in their qualifying series against the Panthers. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, Scott. The NFL has a plan to avoid the kind of coronavirus-driven game cancellations that plagued the start of baseball. The league's approach will rely on contact tracing to stem the spread of the virus. It'll use devices worn on the wrist or even sewn into jerseys. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A few deals crossing the Bloomberg this morning. Sources telling Bloomberg that Blackstone Group is set to buy about 75% of Ancestry.com, the business known for family history research and DNA testing. It's a deal valued at $4.7 billion, including debt. And Teladoc Health and Livongo are set to merge, the deal representing a value of $18.5 billion. European stocks climbing to a one-week high. U.S. stock index futures on the rise. Investors focusing on U.S.-China trade discussions, and as U.S. lawmakers make progress on an economic aid package, gold continuing its climb above a record $2,000. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 18 points. Dow futures up 190. NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany is up about 1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nd, yield 0.52%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.6%, up $1.10 at $42.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.8%. It's at $2,056.70 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a massive explosion at Lebanon's main port rocked Beirut, overwhelming hospitals with the injured and dying. The blast was so large it blew out windows across the capital. At least 6 people are dead after Tropical Storm Isaias spawned tornadoes and dumped rain during a march up the U.S. East Coast. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said the White House and Democrats aim to strike a deal on virus relief legislation by the end of the week. Coming up today, an interview with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio and Television. Catch that on Bloomberg's Balance of Power at noon, Wall Street time. In baseball, the Nationals beat the Mets. The A's won. The Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. NBA action, the Nets won. The Celtics lost. NHL action, the Islanders won. The Rangers lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Coronavirus cases in the United States increased 1.1% as compared with the same time Monday. 4.74 million cases. Well, joining us now for an update, Dr. Andy Pekos, a professor of molecular biology, microbiology, immunology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Doctor, thanks for being with us this morning. When we talk about cases possibly stabilizing in some states, not necessarily a good thing because we don't want them to stabilize at a high rate. Could you explain?
Yeah, so, you know, we have seen, particularly in some states in the South, a really strong surge of cases. Florida, Texas, Arizona have been some of those examples. The cases there seem to have stabilized. But what we want to see is those case numbers go down, because stabilizing at a high rate of infections is just going to continue to put a strain on our medical infrastructure and eventually will lead to surges in the numbers of hospitalizations and deaths, because those things tend to lag behind the identification of cases. So I don't want to sound too pessimistic, because stabilizing is, of course, better than increasing. But what we really want to see is those areas go down in their number of cases so that we can better control the pandemic there.
Do you attribute that to a lack of coordinated responses?
This I'll call it a second surge of infections across the U.S. has really been concerning, because we know much more now about the virus. We have much better tools to deal with the infections and to control the outbreak. And we've also got the experience of looking at other countries and how they've controlled the outbreak. All of those pieces of information should have informed a much better response that should have kept this second surge of cases down. And it points to some shortcomings in terms of perhaps a national strategy for the pandemic, but also implementation at the local level that needs to, I mean, all aspects of the response need to be looked at and improved.
What new things have we learned about the virus?
Well, you know, testing capacity has increased, and so we've now got a much better sense of being able to follow the infections that are either very mild in symptoms or show very little symptoms. And we also have a sense that those mild cases are one of the main drivers of the spread of the virus in the communities. And so our need to do better testing and more complete testing and to have a fast turnaround time on test results really becomes a linchpin in terms of the way that we can respond to the outbreak and control it now. If we have good testing, if we have good contact tracing, then we can keep the level of cases down without having to go to the extremes that we did back in February and March of locking down the country to try to stop the spread of the virus.
Are there reasons for optimism?
There are multiple therapies that are coming down the pipeline. Just this week, an antibody therapy has been announced into clinical phase 3 trials. Several vaccine candidates have been put in place for phase 3 trials as well. So those are good things, but those are things that are probably aren't going to come into play in terms of a real significant intervention strategy for another 3 to 6 months at the earliest. So we really have to rely on our standard public health interventions for the next few months to keep these cases down and to limit the impact of this virus on the health of the nation.
Are you concerned when there is finally a therapy that it'll be the rich countries versus the poor countries?
Yeah, it's a very important question that I know many people are discussing and many people are trying to prioritize. Different countries have put in place their vaccine development programs. Different countries are at different stages of testing these vaccines. But at the end of the day, it's to combat a global pandemic, you will need a global strategy to minimize the numbers of cases. So there's going to have to be some sort of coordination across different countries to make sure that these vaccines are distributed equally so that we can have a good chance of knocking down the pandemic completely.
Professor, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Haley Pecos, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. This as the global death toll from COVID-19 surpasses 700,000. S&P futures right now, 17 points higher. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining as negotiations on a stimulus package continue in Washington. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says they're getting closer to a deal.
They made some concessions, which we appreciated. We made some concessions, which they appreciated. We're still far away on a lot of the important issues, but we're continuing to go at it.
Republican Senator Rick Scott is less optimistic, telling us Democrats are focused on the wrong issues.
They're being disingenuous. They say, oh, we care, but they don't really. And what I'm concerned about is the unbelievable dollars that we're spending.
Both sides hope to reach an agreement in the coming days with a vote likely next week.
Meantime, the trade deal between the U.S. and China is back in focus. Sources tell us senior officials from both countries will meet in about 10 days to assess the agreement. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie is more from Beijing.
These discussions will be focusing on the trade picture, but broadly across the relationship, there are a number of friction points, everything from the Uyghurs in Xinjiang to Hong Kong to the South China Sea to the virus. So all of these things will be, at the very least, the backdrop for these trade discussions.
At the same time, the U.S. is planning a high-level trip to Taiwan with Health Secretary Alex Azar leading a delegation. It's another move that's likely to spark anger from China, which views Taiwan as part of its territory.
On the earnings front, we're seeing shares of Disney surge this morning, the company delivering a surprise profit driven by income from TV networks and streaming. Geetha Raghunatham covers Disney for Bloomberg Intelligence.
They reported ongoing momentum in July thanks to that Hamilton release. And I think the biggest news really was that they are now going to take a big theatrical release, i.e. Mulan, and throw it on their streaming service.
Disney is offering Mulan to Disney Plus customers for $30. Shares of the company up about 6% in the pre-market.
And Novavax is up 15% in early trading after early data on an experimental coronavirus vaccine. The shot, administered with an immune-boosting technology, generated antibody responses four times higher than those seen in people recovered from the disease. At the same time, some healthy adults experienced side effects.
And we're watching earnings crossing the Bloomberg. We're hearing from CVS Health, second quarter profit beating analyst estimates and comp sales up 2.4% in the quarter. That beat analyst estimates as well. Right now, S&P futures are up about 18 points. Dow futures up 184. NASDAQ futures up 35. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thanks, John. Cleanup and search efforts continue in Lebanon after a warehouse storing thousands of tons of unsecured highly explosive material led to a massive blast that ripped through Beirut, killing dozens of people, injuring 4,000, and sending a shockwave across the city that damaged buildings and blew out windows up to 6 miles away. Lebanon's prime minister said that the ammonium nitrate, which is typically used as an agricultural fertilizer, had been stored for 6 years at a port warehouse without safety measures. Tropical storm Isaias blew through the tri-state area, leaving at least one person dead in Queens after he was crushed in his van by a fallen tree. Another tree fell on a man's house in Queens, destroying it. Now he and his family need another place to stay.
This pandemic, where you want to stay at a hotel? I don't want to stay at a hotel in this pandemic.
Roadways throughout the Northeast are littered with debris, downed trees, and power lines all the way up through New England. In Maryland, a tree fell onto a car, killing a person. In North Carolina, two people were killed after a tornado slammed into a neighborhood. New York City's top public health official has resigned. The shakeup follows months of tension over the city's response to the coronavirus pandemic. Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that Dr. Oxidis Barbeau is being replaced by Dr. Dave Choksi, an official and primary care physician in the city's public hospital system.
Dr. Dave Choksi, who was part of the extraordinarily important work in the initial response to the coronavirus, setting up our surge capacity in hospitals all over the city, setting up telemedicine, all of the things that helped us get through, that helped us hold our hospital system and reach tens of thousands of New Yorkers.
Barbeau told staffers in an internal memo that she resigned because the virus fight needs to proceed without distractions. A new California tracking poll has Joe Biden leading Donald Trump by 39 points in the state. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Sounds like a misprint, but the UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies says Mr. Biden received 67 support, while Mr. Trump picked up 28%, margin of error 2%. Now, this beats Hillary Clinton's 2016 tally by 9 points and would tie FDR's first re-election in 1936. 90 days to the election. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, John. The Mets fell to the Nationals last night 5-3 in a rain-interrupted game in D.C. Steven Matz struggled, allowing 5 runs on 7 hits in just 3 innings of work. The Bats could not get anything going, missing 3 key players in the lineup. Robinson Cano was placed on the IL with a strained left leg muscle. Jeff McNeil and Ahmed Rosario missed the game after both getting MRIs that are listed as day-to-day. The Mets have lost 6 of their last 7. They fall to 4-8 on the year. The Yankees, meanwhile, with the night off, their game was called on Monday due to impending weather, so they'll have a doubleheader today in Philadelphia. Both games will be 7 innings. The Bombers will be the home team for the first contest, the road team in the nightcap. Down in the NBA bubble, the Nets pulled off the largest upset in the NBA since 1993 as they stunned the top-seeded Bucks 119-116. Brooklyn went off as 19-point underdogs in this one. Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot led the way with 26 points. Brooklyn holding on to the 7th seed in the East, a half game up on Orlando. The Nets will face the Celtics tonight. Boston will be without Kemba Walker. On the ice, the Rangers were eliminated after being swept by Carolina in their qualifying series. 4-1 the final yesterday. The Rangers managed just 4 goals in the 3 games combined. But now that they are eliminated, they do have a 12.5% chance at landing the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft. Meanwhile, the Islanders took a commanding 2-0 lead in their qualifying series against the Panthers thanks to a 4-2 win yesterday, and they'll look to close it out this afternoon. Puck drop around noon. I'm Scott Seiden with Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, Scott, thanks a lot. Well, coming up today, we get the first look at labor market performance in July. ADP issues payroll data at 8:15 Wall Street time, with forecasts calling for a gain of 1.2 million jobs. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says the outlook is hazy. ADP data have signaled a somewhat sharper rebound among smaller employers, but anecdotal evidence and higher frequency data suggest significant hardships. The prior ADP report showed private payrolls continue to recover from historic pandemic losses, though there's a long road to full recovery. The government will issue official employment data Friday. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And shares of Square up more than 7%. The San Francisco-based company says second quarter sales jumped 64%. Results were helped by increased online business and a surge in the company's peer-to-peer payment app. Virgin Atlantic Airways seeking bankruptcy protection in the U.S. Richard Branson's airline filed under Chapter 15, which allows foreign companies with U.S. assets to protect themselves against claims while restructuring. Another European carmaker reporting a big hit from the pandemic, BMW's automotive division, posted a $1.8 billion loss in the second quarter. That's its first quarterly loss in more than a decade. And shares of Beyond Meat down 10% in the pre-market. The plant-based meat makers reporting narrower margins from costs related to the pandemic. Here with the story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
While sales surpassed the highest analyst estimate in the second quarter, it's being entirely fueled by grocery sales. Restaurants, previously a high-growth channel, are also representing a much smaller percentage of sales as the pandemic kept consumers at home. The speed of the shift away from restaurants forced the company to repack products that were originally intended for the food service industry for retail sales at a cost of $5.9 million. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
Global consumption of animal proteins had been rising for six decades, but the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United States estimates meat production was down in 2019, and another decline is predicted for this year. Two consecutive years of lower production is unprecedented, and it could be the start of something long-lasting. These trends matter for the climate. Beef production is an extremely high-emitting sector of global food production. Emissions are about 10 times higher than from pork or chicken. Beef emissions are not just from the farms and animals. They also come from changes in land use, such as deforestation, to create space for grazing. Ways of reducing farm emissions are being developed. Technology may help. The markets have confidence in companies that promise solutions, companies such as Indigo Ag, which is now the most highly valued agriculture tech startup in the world. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures right now, 17 points higher. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're watching shares of CVS Health this morning, up 5% in early trading after it reported second quarter earnings that topped analyst estimates and boosted its full year forecast range. Humana said its hospital admits are still modestly below normal. It says, and we'll be keeping an eye on those shares as well. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 18 points. Dow futures up 188. NASDAQ futures up 33. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 0.52%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7%. It's up $1.13 at $42.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.9% or $37.90 at $20.58.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1847 against the dollar, British pound 1.3122, and the yen 105.74. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. It is daytime in Beirut after a massive explosion that shook Lebanon's capital, killing at least 100 and wounding about 4,000. Lebanon's prime minister says it was an estimated 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate that exploded and sent a shockwave cloud across Beirut. Tropical storm Isaiah spun up the east coast from the Carolinas to Maine. At least six people were killed and millions lost power. Corey Bush, one-time homeless woman who led protests following a white police officer's fatal shooting of a black 18-year-old in Ferguson, has ousted longtime Representative William Lacey Clay in Missouri's Democratic primary. In baseball, the Nationals beat the Mets 5-3, the A's won, the Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won, the Rangers lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen, John?
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. State and local officials are receiving additional tools from the federal government to help defend the nation's election systems from cyber threats ahead of the November vote. Under a $2.2 million pilot program, the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity Agency, in partnership with the Center for Internet Security, has been deploying software to election offices. It is then placed on devices, including laptops and servers, used for voter registration and reporting vote totals to detect malicious activity. Amazon.com will kick off its first Prime Day since a coronavirus outbreak later this week in India. Prime Day will have the customary deep discounts, but in a profound departure from the past, the global retailer will have a virtual operations room instead of a real one, with thousands of employees coordinating a sale from their homes and stringent hygiene protocols for its armies of packers, sorters, and delivery men. And Disney's 10-month-old video streaming service grew to 57.5 million subscribers in the latest quarter. That was almost a million below analyst estimates. And you don't have to wait for movie theaters to open to watch the movie Mulan. The company will offer it as a pay-per-view product for about $30. And that's the NJIT STEM report. John.
All right. Thanks, Karen. And we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:51 on Wall Street. And that is time to check in what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include, well, the White House and Democratic negotiators are driving toward a deal on a final massive virus relief package by the end of the week. A high-level U.S. trip to Taiwan will challenge China. Maybe a sign of disunity on the eve of the Democratic convention. And while negotiators argue over the $600 week added benefit to millions of out-of-work Americans, the cost of the Navy's next aircraft carrier creeping up to eye-popping levels. Let's pick apart some of these stories this morning. We're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Well, let's start with the negotiations between the White House and the Democrats toward a deal on the virus relief package. It sounds like the Democrats are playing hardball at this point. Do they have the upper hand, or at least the leverage in all this?
Well, I think they certainly think they do. I think there's a sense among Democrats that Republicans are going to take the lion's share of the blame for these extended unemployment benefits expiring. And so I think that's why we're seeing Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer really taking a hard line and basically saying that they're not going to do anything on the unemployment benefits unless it's part of a broader deal. I think they realize that they want more stimulus than Republicans want. And so perhaps if they go along with a one-off on the unemployment benefits, there's not going to be a whole lot of leverage left for them to try to get Republicans to come their way when it comes to the additional stimulus aid. So I think Democrats at this stage are playing it very smart.
Is there progress being made?
Well, you know, we talked yesterday. There was a glimmer of hope yesterday, and it sounds like both sides have agreed that they want to get to a deal, if possible, by the end of the week. That's a significant date because that's when the Senate is scheduled to leave town for its August recess. And so I think that's been viewed as kind of a drop-dead deadline. So I think the fact that what we've heard over the last 36 to 48 hours has been a lot more positive. And the idea that both sides are at least agreeing to kind of a target of when they want to get something done by, I think that's certainly progress. That being said, they're still, you know, very, very far apart on the particulars, and there's not a clear sense of how they're going to find their way through that. With Congress, often, you know, there's not progress until there's a flurry of progress and suddenly there's a deal. So that certainly could be the case. It's only Wednesday. I think, you know, if we were to see a deal, it would probably come Thursday or Friday.
I didn't think there were any fiscal hawks left on Capitol Hill, but apparently there are. Is that part of the holdup?
Well, you know, that has been an issue. There are a number of Republicans who are, you know, basically very reticent, particularly in the Senate. They're important because in the Senate, the Republicans control that chamber, and Mitch McConnell would need support from these fiscal hawks to get something through. And they've been very reticent to go along with the deal that he's proposed, which would be another $1 trillion in stimulus. And I think that is, you know, partially motivated by some of these guys looking at their own political futures and not wanting to have that, you know, hanging around their neck the next time they face voters. And so I think that's a real issue that Mitch McConnell's been contending with as well, and one that Democrats are really looking to exploit.
The next story I want to look at, the high-level U.S. trip to Taiwan and a possible challenge to Taiwan. Well, we have Taiwan. We have the trade front and TikTok. A casual observer, Kathleen, might conclude there are tensions with China.
Yeah, I think that's putting it mildly. You know, it's interesting because I think Donald Trump has really been trying to thread this needle of, you know, saying that he, you know, playing to the domestic audience that, you know, He's reviving one of his 2016 campaign themes, which is, you know, to be hardline on China. That being said, you know, his administration has, you know, very publicly touted their, you know, phase one trade deal that they got with China. But I think that on many fronts, the ones you've named, and now we see, you know, a cabinet official, Alex Azar, planning a trip to Taiwan. That certainly Taiwan is a big issue that, you know, might be that is very, very, you know, sensitive with Beijing. And so I think that that is basically opening up a new front in these U.S.-China tensions.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Bloomberg's Washington reporter, Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. You can also follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And it is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. It was back in May when we first spoke to Evan Feldman. He's the founder of Donuttery. This is a small donut chain in the New York area. Well, since then, some locations suffered damage from protests following the death of George Floyd. He's still waiting for the return of office workers in Manhattan. Evan is back with us now. Can you give us an update on your small business?
I have not seen it as slow as it has been. I mean, even the first 2 months of COVID, we did more business than we're doing now. So unfortunately, things sort of got a little worse.
Remind me the extent to which you depend on office workers and the return of office workers in Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous part of our business model. You know, we do a lot of catering, a lot of office events, a lot of large orders around meetings. And it's really been hard to visualize what business is going to be like after Labor Day. You know, that's a significant date, Labor Day, because, you know, it used to be when everyone would come back to work, and that would mean come back to the offices.
Remind me, how many locations do you have, and can you sustain that number?
Well, we have three locations in New York City, and then we've got about three locations outside New York City in different states through a franchise model. And, you know, we are weighing our options.
Okay, the landlords, for the most part, have been cooperative with you and have helped sustain you. But a lot of them are small business owners themselves. Do you see that continuing?
It has not been that easy of a process. And only now are we starting to have dialogues with them. For a couple of months, they were radio silent. There was radio silence, and we couldn't get a word out of them. And now we're starting to have discussions, and people are starting to talk to us. And so that's been positive.
All right, Evan, thanks a lot. Evan Feldman, founder of Donuttery. And we're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. That is your Bloomberg Small Business Report for today. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And we continue to watch shares of CVS Health. They're up 1.6% now in early trading after it reported second quarter earnings that topped analyst estimates. And we continue to keep an eye on Walt Disney. It's up 6.4% this morning. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 18 points. Dow futures up 196 and NASDAQ futures up 29. COMEX gold up 1.8%. Bloomberg surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moskow, and this is Bloomberg.